Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to our conversation series, Keys to Opening the Door to the Life of Your Dreams, where our intention for each call is to give you bite-sized pieces of information that you can listen to, digest, and try on to see if any of it resonates for you. Maybe there's something you've never tried before, or maybe you've done it many times before, but you forget that it's a tool you can use. No matter what, we hope you walk away with something to ponder or share with others. You can follow along at www.tweetchat.com, log in with your Twitter ID, and enter hashtag conversation series. I'm your host, Monica Zanz. I'm a mother, a results-producing business consultant, a life architect, helping to improve people's experience of their life, and a compassionate coach of parents of children with autism. Most recently, I've co-founded a nonprofit organization, Autism Resources International, with the mission to help empower parents to plan, implement, and sustain best-fit treatments for their children. One of the greatest gifts that I've had the pleasure of receiving from working with my extraordinary clients is that of healing. By connecting and building relationships, we really get to share, we get to be seen and heard, and contribute to each other's lives. It's a growing and learning experience on both ends. And I recognize that all my clients possess the resources they need to live a life of their dreams. And sometimes all they need is a simple reminder. I open the door, my clients get to walk in, explore, discover, and achieve their dreams. Today, I have the pleasure of introducing Mr. Barry Selby. Barry's life purpose is inspiring people to live authentic lives. And the vehicle that most effectively expresses his purpose is his work. He works with singles and couples to have amazing relationships and live purposely and authentically, fulfilling their highest potential. Barry has been fascinated with how people do or don't relate to each other and how people sometimes get along and don't. He grew up in a solid family. His parents are still married after 58 years, yet around him other families were divorcing and falling apart. And this spurred his fascination, and he's immersed himself for over 25 years in human development, personal growth, and spiritual exploration. So without further ado, it's my pleasure to introduce you, Barry. Thank you so much for being part of this conversation today. And is there anything you might want to share that I left out?
That pretty much covers most of it, yes. It is something I love. I mean, you're talking about how you wish people to have the life of their dreams, and for me, relationship is a key part of that. Most people's dreams include a healthy relationship, so I love being able to contribute to that conversation.
Beautiful. Well, our topic today, relationships that rock, how to have the relationship of your dreams. And I love that because, you know, intimate relationships is obviously a really important part of people's lives if they have the opportunity to have that. But in general, every day of our life, we're making relationships and having interactions with people from Starbucks to the line at the grocery store to driving a car up to the gas station, saying hi to the person pumping gas next to us. So it's definitely a topic that is something that infects and interacts with us or impacts us every day. So what about you share a little bit about your experience of building relationships and why that's been something that became your passion and your study?
Well, in the simplest way of languaging it, the relationship is a crucible for growth. It's a place where we get to face ourselves more than any other place in the world. We can go and meditate for 40 years in a cabin somewhere, or we can go build a big company in New York City or something, for example. But when it comes down to intimate relationship, that's where most of the growth, most of our understanding of who we are, develops. So it's a key part of the journey in our lives to have healthy relationships. And not just intimate, but as you said, every relationship, because everyone we meet in some way reflects back to us who we are. And it's not always an easy subject for people to grasp or to own, but it's one of the biggest pathways to the life people really want.
And what would you say are some of the roadblocks or misunderstandings that get in the way of people having these kinds of relationships?
There's a few. One of the biggest ones for most people, from my experience, seems to be basically being blind to what's being given to them. As you said, you meet people everywhere, and a lot of times you'll see in relationships, particularly, you know, I call it Groundhog Day in relationships, where people would date the same person and then date the next person, but it's the same patterns again, the same issues, the same things showing up, even though it's a different person, different name. And not being willing to look at that and transform that is going to create this cycle of doing the same thing again and again, and it's a form of insanity. And that's a debilitating part of relationships that people don't do well if they don't choose to grow.
Right. Well, and the thing also that I love that you say about that is that the idea of a pattern. So when you notice, when a client comes to you and you notice that they're inside a pattern and they've shared with you about multiple relationships that they have where there's a similar experience that they're having,
mm-hmm.
how do you support them in shifting that pattern or looking at it from a new way?
Well, there's a few pieces. The first one, of course, is always to show them the mirror so they can see that's in fact the pattern they're dealing with, because they may not even see it, even though they may say to that to me, sorry, even if they may share that with me in conversation, until I reflect back to them what they said, they may not even be aware they've done it. It's such an amazing thing to see how people are blind to what's right in front of them because they've chosen to be that way. And so my work with them mostly is to find where that starts, where it comes from. And yes, as much as the people don't want to hear this, a lot of that does come back to stuff with parents or with role models they grew up with that taught them a certain way of being, but then duplicate and repeat with relationships in their primary intimate lives. So going back to that source, and I've got various things I work with clients depending on what they are preferring, and help them go back to clear that out so they can be present to the moment they're in now versus dragging the past with them into the present.
That's beautiful. And how do you help them? You know, there's a lot of people that I interact with that are really resistant to even doing the work of looking. So how do you
right.
bring them from a space of being resistant or stuck in their where they're at to a place of openness?
Well, the first piece is also to clearly get what they find out what they really want. Because if they know what they want is more important what they want versus what they don't want, then they'll do the work. If they choose to resist because they don't have anything they're clearly focused on, then some of that work is to get them clear about what their dreams are so they really feel there's something there. I've worked with clients before who basically were giving up on their dreams, so there's no motivation to move forward, so healing the past wasn't relevant to them. But as soon as the fire, the spark is lit in them, they go, yes, I want that, I really do want that, then they're willing to do the work to get there. And it's kind of a, which is more important in their lives, the pain they're staying in or the vision that's pulling them. And once they're clear on the vision they have, then the pain becomes something they will work with because they know that's the solution to get the vision they want.
That's great. And then when they get to that vision, are there any tips or tools that you give them to be able to deepen in their relationship with themselves, possibly, to be able to then go out and express themselves in a different way outwardly?
Well, yeah, I talk about relationships, both one as being the crucible of healing, but it's also one of the best places to grow. You know, it's easy to become complacent in our lives. Well, I don't assume that's true for everybody. But for a lot of people, just maintaining day-to-day living and paying the bills is a routine they get into and forget to grow. But being in a relationship is a beautiful place and one of my favorite places to see people get to know themselves better and better and become deeper in themselves, because a relationship can only grow unless otherwise it will stagnate and it will fall apart. And there are people who, when they go into a relationship, that's all they want is comfort and stay there. But my dream for people who have a healthy relationship is that they will see in the other person the vision of what that person has, and their partner will see that in them. And then their motivating intention will be how to help their partner get there. And by doing that for each other, their relationship will blossom and grow and become an amazing flower that blossoms in the world. I mean, I'm trying to find a way of saying it more powerfully, but the truth is that women and men who, or couples who are gay as well, it doesn't have to be just straight couples, who see the best in their partners and then see that in themselves, can grow beyond anything they had before. So relationships are a great place to grow with too. And to have a really healthy relationship is absolutely to deepen in the connection on the heart level, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and to keep seeing how you can be more and more loving to your partner, because that will reflect the loving to yourself. And love is one of those major gifts we have in the universe.
And do you have a specific example where you have experienced a transformation with a client where they came in feeling like they're at a dead end, that there wasn't another choice or another pathway, and through working with you, they had a transformation and therefore were able to really create something new for themselves?
I'm just reflecting on a couple of clients I worked with recently. One of them I worked with, this actually started out primarily as where they'd broken up after being, they thought, the perfect partners for each other. And the challenge for them both was that they thought they'd lost their soulmate. And once they realized that wasn't the case, in fact, I was working with the woman in this relationship, her experience was from basically being such pain and grief she couldn't see a possibility of anything out there, anything new or not, because the one person she thought was the one had left her. Mm. And yet through working together briefly and just having that recognition of that she was clearly who she was, that one of the pieces was she wasn't dependent upon the other person, which is the trap she'd fallen into. He wasn't making her life perfect. She had chosen that. And by shifting that, she took ownership back, and then she has been out. And at this point in time, she's not in a new relationship, but her vision, her excitement, and her joy about meeting the one who's even more than she had before is fulfilling her even now. She has such a joy about the exploration and going out and meeting people, and it's almost going out and saying, okay, where is he? She knows he's out there now. And it's that childlike excitement that is just so different from when she came in to see me. And I look forward to when I can share with you and other people that she found that person and they've chosen their whole life together. But I know it's coming, and I can feel it in her that she knows it too.
Well, and what I love is it's, you know, that age-old saying of what you put out there gets attracted. So if you're feeling sad and frustrated and lost because you feel like the one soulmate that you had in that was intended for you is gone, then the attraction goes way down. But when you're joyful and fun and playful, who doesn't want to be around that? So that's a beautiful way to just be.
Yes, and it's one of the cornerstones. Because the thing is, and I don't want to harp on the law of attraction, although it's very big and has been for a few years. My work does reflect a lot with clients about how they can be in that place of attraction that's attractive because they are a place of joy and upliftment and inspiration. So people want to be around them. As you said, they are drawn to that lightness. You know, someone who's upset and hurt and painful because they don't have the relationship won't attract what they want because they're putting out a negative vibe. And when they are in the joy and upliftment and the buoyancy of being in love with themselves and sharing their love with the world in general, that will be so attractive and such a magnet for what they want in their lives and will come to them so easily.
I love that. Well, and I also noticed that when I am dealing with anything in my own relationship, I have that experience, and you said this just a few moments ago, about it's not just about connecting on the things that you naturally connect on, because that comes naturally. It's about looking at areas of your life that specifically for you are important. Like, for example, for me, being fit and working out and being health conscious and eating right and nutritional awareness, that's really important for me. But that's an area where my husband is very, very different than me. And so it's how do we meet at that level, me accepting wherever he's at and inviting him to participate with me in as much as he wants to or is able to, but also not get to the point where I feel any kind of resent or frustration because this is something I'd like to share with my partner and I don't get to.
Right. Well, this is an interesting conversation in this piece. I've, from my own experience with dating relationships in the past where one of us was vegetarian and the other one wasn't, things can be very interesting when we have a different choice about life and health and lifestyle. And it's sometimes most ideal to, up front, to be with somebody who there's a common ground. Yes, that's ideal. But also as you explore things, you finally discover something you're passionate about and hopefully your partner can join you in it. But sometimes it requires finding that middle ground where you enjoy something a lot the other person will enjoy. And those things you enjoy even more that they won't participate with, you can do with yourself or with other people, and it won't take away from your relationship. It's really about the two people deciding between themselves what they love most and what's important to them.
Yeah, well, and what's been very important for the two of us is exactly what you said. You know, we each have made an agreement about different things that are mine, that I do with my girlfriends or with other people that I know, and the certain things that are his, where not only do we have time apart from each other, so we grow and develop and have something to bring back to the relationship, but then we also have our own experience of something and don't feel anything missing.
Absolutely. In fact, that's one of the pieces that I work with a lot of the couples and the singles. This is more on the polarity of the masculine and the feminine for the tension and excitement in the relationship. But what I find is that when couples spend time apart doing things that are unique to them, for example, women decide, I'm making these general terms and know these are general terms, but women, for example, may decide to go to the spa and go for massages with their girlfriends for the day or for the weekend. And the men go out with their friends, with their guy friends, and go camping or do other things. And these are general broad strokes. But by doing these opposite pole activities, each partner gets deepened into who they are uniquely. So when they come back, that polarity and that sexual tension is inbuilt more easily. So being together all the time is not actually the ultimate best for a relationship that's healthy, because what happens is there can be a sense of demagnetization where the two partners become so similar, they become buddies, not lovers. Does that make sense?
Right. Right. Well, I see that time and time again. The other thing that I notice is very important, and I wonder how do you work with this, or do you even, is building the trust. You know, there's a mutual respect and there's a trust in relationship that has people, you know, when they get in a disagreement or when something comes up for them or when something gets difficult, not feel like, okay, I'm out. I'm leaving.
Right.
I'm done.
Oh, I need to share some of my own dark history then to explain this one. as you said in my bio, my parents are still together. It is 58 years this year. They've been together. And one thing I was aware of growing up, and coming from England, there was a certain stiff upper lip, English reserve, lack of emotion that's kind of the downfall, I think, of the British Empire, maybe. And what I was aware of with my parents is that they never argued. And I didn't see this till later looking back, but when I started dating in my dating life, in my teens and 20s, as soon as there was a disagreement, I was out of the relationship because I had no tools at that point because my parents didn't argue. They had disagreements once in a while. It wasn't that perfect, but they just chose to basically bury everything. They didn't put a clear picture, they didn't put a clear expression of what wasn't working for them in front of each other, if that makes sense. And so what happened for me is I would be in a relationship with somebody and we'd be dating, it'd be wonderful, perfect, great. And as soon as there was a disagreement or something, a discord or even an argument, I literally would say, okay, it's over. I didn't know about make-up sex, first of all, which is a really bad thing I missed. But secondly, I didn't have the tools then or the understanding that a relationship could survive through disagreement, because in my eyes, a disagreement doesn't fit in a relationship, so it couldn't be one. So, yes, the biggest piece I've learned and I've taught and I work with clients is I think about authentic relationships. That's the biggest piece, because trust is built from authenticity. Because the other thing is, the more authentic we are, the more we live in our truth, unless you've got to keep in your head and trying to make stuff up, because a lot of people get into bad habits where they don't tell their partners everything.
Yeah.
And so there's these lists of things in the back of the mind saying, okay, I didn't tell them this, I didn't tell them that, I don't need to tell them this. There's more focus on that than there is on their partner. So being authentic and being real, so you tell them everything and anything that's going on that you choose to share, builds trust, because there's nothing hidden. And it is trust versus hidden. Most people, the way to build more trust is to be open, to share your heart, share yourself genuinely. The good, the bad, and the ugly, because that's who people really want to see, is you as you.
Sure. Well, I have a friend, and she and I have a little joke where we have with our, she's not married yet, but she has a serious boyfriend, and with my husband, we say we call them microscopic truths. And so we share, and she and I even do it in our own friendship, that when something comes up, we don't just share the, oh, well, this made me feel sad, but the microscopic truth, like, and it scared me and it made me want to leave the relationship, or, and it it caused this inside of myself. And all of a sudden now it's not just sharing what's wrong, but it's sharing or divulging something that's inside of me that I myself am working with and trying to maybe figure out that doesn't necessarily belong to them, but at least they can be in a greater understanding of me as I go through the process.
Absolutely. In fact, I would want to say one thing in there you said, which is very important. If you talk about what you experience, you don't be microscopic truth about the other person. That's not appropriate. But when you say, as you said, that, you know, this happened, this is how I felt from that, that ownership is huge in relationships, to take ownership of your own feelings. The other person doesn't get blamed for anything. And that, again, creates that depth of ownership and trust that you can then communicate at such deep levels that the relationship can really blossom.
When you work with couples, do you do the one? Do you do one-on-one primarily, or do you do when you do the couple work, do you actually do activities with the couples together?
I work generally speaking one-on-one. I do have assignments that I can give. I give to singles and couples for them to do, because I don't believe in just the 1 hour we work together or the session we have together is complete. A lot of times I'll give them something to do as a home assignment. It sounds scary to say that as a school teacher, I think, but it's not. I'll give them a practice, because a lot of times for relationships, it isn't about the time you sit and talk. It's the 5, 10, 20 days after that where there'll be practices where they can put into place with each other that will then take them to another level of relationship. So in the sessions, I usually work one-on-one unless they really request a two-at-a-time focus. But I do work a lot more with singles and couples, but giving them assignments to take home with them, for them to do as practices that are done during the day or at night, or whether it's writing, whether it's drawing a vision up, or whether it's something to do in their partnerships, those things are to do in the couples.
Beautiful. And what are some of the assignments that you give that some of our listeners might be able to implement?
Okay. what are some of the immediate top of the head? I don't have regular ones I give all the time, but some of them could be simply just, and this is very generic stuff. This can be done for singles, couples, anybody, is a gratitude journal. And for couples especially, I recommend a gratitude, making a list, and I didn't write it down, but doing face-to-face, this is something special, more important. At the end of the day, it's face-to-face, at least 10 each of things that you're grateful for with your partner. So what are you grateful for about your partner? You say to them, looking eye to eye. And that one alone, I've heard some amazing healings from that. But simply by being grateful, and sometimes it can be the fact that you're grateful for them actually being able to live fully in your own life. That you'll be grateful that you spend time breathing together. It can be very simple. It doesn't have to be, okay, I'm grateful you went and bought that car for me. That's a whole other story. But the gratitude alone is a very powerful place to change. That's what I love giving to clients, because it's a low-cost entry for them. It can stretch them beyond what they've been before, and it can open up a whole new depth of relationship for them and their partners. And actually, I do this for singles, too. So a lot of times for singles, I have them do it in the mirror, so they look in their own eyes, because that, again, takes them to a deeper place of gratitude with who they are. Again, it changes their energetics, so they attract more of what they want.
That's great. Well, and I also think I've done this with my husband, and one of the things that I know has been one of my own lessons as I've gone through life is really understanding how to feel acknowledged. So when I was young, there was a big experience of, I work so hard and I don't get told that I'm doing a good job, and so I just... I was the flip side of that. So I overachieved and took over responsibility for things, thinking the better I did and the more I was and the better grades and the faster runner and the best I could be would get me the acknowledgement that I want. And the two things that I've learned is, number one, I was never fulfilled even if I was getting acknowledgement, because it wasn't coming from me. And then number two is, I never asked. I just tried to do things that would cause someone else to do something for me. So in a way, it was very manipulative and controlling. But what I now learn is, by doing something like a gratitude moment, or we even do a thing called withheld. So we'll take, you know, like a 2-minute, these are the things I haven't been telling you, like the microscopic truth, and then these are the things I'm grateful for, and we kind of go back and forth. And just that has me own what's mine and allow my partner to be able to understand where I am, what I'm feeling, how I'm feeling it, and then I receive the gratitude that I was searching for, because we're giving that back and forth to each other.
It's perfect. It's beautiful and exactly right, yes.
So, about you, tell me a specific story about your life, because I loved hearing about your childhood and how that got you into trouble, that belief system. Now that you recognize... Right now that you recognize that you don't need to run, how do you manage that? Because I imagine that every once in a while, even now, when you have a disagreement or something come up, you still get maybe that twinge in your body. So how do you work with that in yourself?
Well, first of all, it's funny, because I had recently with someone I was volunteering with. It was a whole different type of relationship. It wasn't a romantic relationship. It was a service relationship. We're working together. And I realized that I'd already started going down the road of backing away without realizing it. I mean, unconsciously, I was already starting to do the backing out and said, no, stop. And the first step is being aware. First, I was catching myself to say, hang a second, I'm doing this. I have a choice point. Keep doing that or change it. And it took me a couple of seconds to sit with which was more important to me at the time. And I really had to honestly get to, in this case, was it more important to ignore it or to go resolve it? And now I chose to resolve it. And so taking a step back, and it wasn't pretty, it wasn't perfect. I mean, you know, I may be coaching a lot of people, but I'm not perfect at this by any means either. I was able to stand in front of him and tell him my truth and receive his truth. And it basically took the pressure off. It didn't make us best friends, because that wasn't where we were, but it made things workable again. And it was a shift that was me choosing in to say, this is what I felt. And the biggest piece, again, as you said earlier, excuse me, was that I said to him what I was feeling, not he did this or he did that or blaming any of that stuff. I said to him, my experience was this and I felt this. I wanted you to know this, what I was feeling, because I was feeling separate because of it. And he actually got to hear that, and he suddenly shifted, because he realized I wasn't trying to pesky or make any prejudice against him. I was just telling him what I felt. And so he took up more space again. He didn't back away. He came into the same conversation and took ownership as well, and it made things much easier for both of us.
It's amazing how speaking about it and sharing the truth sometimes helps with avoiding interpretation and assumptions and all that stuff.
Oh, yes. Indeed.
Yeah, there's a great little book called The Four Agreements, and one of the main parts of that mm-hmm. is the assumption part of it, and it's so simple, but it's so true. It's, you know, in most conversations that I have with people, there's a moment of, well, I know you said that, but I don't know if you really know what I meant when you're based on your response to what I just said.
Right.
And so I think that's also a really valuable part of relationships, is really hearing what people say, but then reflecting it back to them to have them really say, I heard you and I understand you.
Right. Because it's two different things sometimes.
Yeah, very much so. So you shared with me earlier, not on this call, but before this call, five keys to living the life of your dreams. So I'd like to share those five now and give you an opportunity to just kind of expand on any of them if there is that for you to do. And then we'll complete our call. So number one, start from where you are. Get real and enjoy who you are. You mentioned a little bit about that by looking at the mirror and talking to yourself, or really coming to terms and honest about who you are to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, don't live in the past. Clean it up so it no longer has hold or impact.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit earlier about not taking, you know, that's the thing about the Groundhog Day experience, about not living the same life over and over again, but choosing to be present to who you are now. And reaching the past, because then you can have what you really want.
Great. Number three, look where you're going. Have a vision.
Yes. That's something I've worked with clients on as well, is a lot of people are looking, basically are avoiding what they don't want. They're not seeing clearly where they're going, so they're backing into the next relationship. So having a clear picture, having a vision of what is pulling them, again, is attractive to what they want, and it brings it to them more readily.
Beautiful. Number four, be where you want to be. Spend time experiencing your vision and imprinting it in your consciousness.
Yes. That sums it up.
Yeah, and then number five, which is something we did speak about, be grateful for each step and apparent setback along the way. It's all worthwhile. And I think it's really important to know that we're always looking to enhance, improve, and heal, but it's the lessons and the hardships and the mistakes and the falling down and getting up that's the greatest lessons for us all.
Absolutely.
So, Barry, thank you so much for being on our call. I wanted to give you an opportunity to just share what's next on the horizon for you, and also share with everybody what your site is if they want to get some great relationship coaching.
Thank you so much. Well,
yeah,
first of all, my main site, although I'm going through an evolution right now, but my main site you can go to is matchmagnetics.com, which is my main landing page, and there's a chance they can sign up for emails and also find out more what I'm up to. I have launched a new monthly question and answer dialogue that I'm putting together. It's called The Circle, for want of a better name right now. That is at matchmagnetics.com/circle with capital C .html. And that's a monthly program of women, specifically for women, who can get questions answered about romance, relationships, and men. They send my questions. They send me their questions. I answer them, which is what I love doing. Kind of my focus.
Great.
And then the other piece is, if you want private coaching, I do have room in my calendar for a couple more clients. They can directly email me at Barry, which is BARRY, at matchmagnetics.com. And again, it's matchmagnetics, which is the plural, so it's matchmagnetics.com.
Beautiful. Well, Barry, again, thank you so much for being on the call.
My
want to thank all of our guests for joining us today. And remember that the key to building the life of your dreams is recognizing those open doors and courageously stepping through them to discover new opportunities that are awaiting your participation. As always, dream big. I'm Monica Zanz, and you can visit me at monicazanz.com. Bye now.
Bye.